There are a number of connections in the Bible that God expects us to make. Number of connections. There's a connection this morning in what we did in observing the Lord's Supper. And as you think back to that song that we sang, the old rugged cross, God expects us to make a connection when we partake of the Lord's Supper, to connect the unleavened bread with the body that hung on that cross, to connect the fruit of the vine with the blood that He shed. There's connections that He expects us to make. We meet every first day of the week to observe this feast. We meet every first day of the week to worship God. God expects us to connect that with the fact that it was the first day of the week. It was on Sunday morning when Jesus was raised from the dead. And so it is for that reason that His church assembles every Sunday, every Lord's Day, to celebrate, to commemorate, to worship Him for dying for us and for being raised from the dead. God expects us to make that connection. A number of connections that can be made in the Bible. But here's what we want to look at this morning. We want to recognize that there are three interconnected resurrections that are talked about in the New Testament that we need to understand how they fit together. We need to make those connections. There are more than three resurrections mentioned in the Bible, but there are three that we want to look at this morning to make sure that we are connecting them in the way that God wants us to be able to connect them. The first one is very obvious. The first one is one that we would know and may be the first that would come to mind. And that is, we need to understand the significance of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus' resurrection from the dead truly was and truly is the grandest event in all of history. It's grand because it was a powerful event. It was powerful. When the women came to the tomb on that Sunday morning, there was an earthquake that took place. An angel came and rolled that stone away, and the women came expecting to find the body of Jesus still in that tomb. And so in Matthew 28, when that angel said to those women, "He is not here. He is risen just as He said." That is the grandest event in all of history. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, but He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And then the Bible says, "And He was seen, and He was seen, and He was seen, and He was seen." That's what the angel told those women on that day. "He is not here. He is risen. He has gone to Galilee where you will see Him." The most powerful day in the history of this earth, when Jesus came forth from that tomb. The Bible says, Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he preached about this, that God raised Him from the dead and God loosed the pains of death because it was impossible for Jesus to be held by them. Acts 2 and verse 24. It was impossible for the Son of God to remain in that tomb. He was raised by the power of God. And His resurrection is to us a proof of His deity. It is to us a proof that He is the Son of God. It is to us a proof that we need to listen to and obey what He has taught us to do. Jesus was raised from the dead. And then Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says that He presented Himself alive by many infallible proofs. And He was seen by them for 40 days. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead was confirmed by the fact that He was seen over a period of 40 days. And the way that He presented Himself, it was infallible. The way that He presented Himself to show that He had been dead, and now He was most certainly alive. Our Savior did not stay in that tomb. In order to prove who He was, our Savior was raised from the dead. He came forth from that tomb to show us that He truly was, and to be declared in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, to be declared to be the Son of God. But as you think about His resurrection, it's not only a powerful, most powerful event in all of history, not only a proof to us of His deity, it was permanent. Jesus was not the first person raised from the dead. Do you know that? If you read through your Bible, Jesus was not the first person raised from the dead. So what was the big deal about Jesus? Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. What was the big deal about Jesus being raised from the dead if other people had been raised from the dead before Him? When Jesus was raised from the dead, unlike those other people, He would never die again. How would you have liked to have been one of those people who was raised from the dead and then had to experience dying again at some point in the future? It was appointed unto those people twice to die, and then after that, the judgment. But for Jesus, look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus says, I am He who lives. Present tense. Not I did live, not I will live. I am living. I am He who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus said, I was dead, but now I am alive, and not just alive temporarily, I am alive forevermore. Jesus' resurrection, His resurrection to life, was permanent. Romans chapter 6, down in about verse 9, where Paul was talking about the resurrection of Christ, he says that Christ was raised from the dead, and He dies no more. He went on to say, death no longer has dominion over Him. First resurrection that we need to have a clear picture of in our minds this morning is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But that's not the only resurrection that we read about in the Bible. That was a resurrection that took place nearly 2,000 years ago. But there's another resurrection that is coming. And the thing is, we don't know when this one is coming. We know that it is coming. We know that from us today it is yet future, but we don't know when it's going to happen. We mentioned Hebrews 9 and verse 27 a minute ago. It is appointed unto man once to die. Unless Jesus returns before we die, everyone here this morning is going to die. But is that it? Is that the end? It's appointed unto man once to die, but there is a day that is coming. And Lawrence read it for us in John chapter 5. There is a day that is coming in which the dead will be raised. I want you to think for a few minutes about what that day is going to be like. What is it going to be like when all of the dead are raised? We know where some cemeteries are around here, but that's only because we've been here for a short period of time. Where were the dead buried 200 or 300 years ago, 400 or 500 years ago? You think about all of the cemeteries, marked and unmarked, around this world. And what is it going to be like on the day when Jesus returns and the dead are raised? We need to understand that that day is certain. It is absolutely going to happen. Paul said in Acts chapter 24, he said, I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection from the dead. We need to know that that day is coming. Jesus spoke about it in the affirmative. He said it is absolutely going to happen. Even Jesus' friends knew about it. You remember what Martha said in John chapter 11 when she talked about her brother who had died? She said, I know that he will be raised on the day of resurrection. We need to know that that is an absolute certainty. There are some who don't believe that. There's some who believe that once you're dead, that's it. Game over. There's nothing else after that. We need to know the day's coming. Jesus said that He's going to return and that all who are in the graves are going to hear His voice. It is a comprehensive event. There's not going to be a single person overlooked. The hour is coming. This is going to happen all at the same time. The hour is coming, John 5 and verse 28, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Every person who has ever died, regardless of how they lived, regardless of whether they were just or unjust, to use Paul's terminology in Acts 24, whether they were righteous or unrighteous, the day is coming which every single one of them is going to be raised from the dead. What is that day going to look like? What is that day going to sound like? What is that event? There are some events, I'm certain, that you would have liked to have seen. Some of you saw on television the man who first walked on the moon. But forget about television. How would you have liked to have seen that with your own eyes? There are some events that we only have heard about. How would you have liked to have been there when Washington was crossing the Potomac, not to see the pictures of it, not to see the Kodak moments that some folks grabbed during that event, but to have been there on that day? There's some events been really cool to have seen. This is an event that no one is going to miss. This is an event that even those who had been or are blind at the return of Christ, every single one of them will see this. It is certain. It's comprehensive. But I want you to see that it's connected. We talked about the resurrection of Christ. But this resurrection is not disconnected. It's not some other kind of resurrection. It is connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, Paul said in Acts chapter 26 as he was talking to Agrippa that Christ would be the first to rise from the dead. Well, if you go back, he wasn't the first. If we go back and look at Jairus' daughter, if we go back and look at the widow of Nain's son, if we go back and look at Lazarus, there were three in the lifetime of Jesus who were raised from the dead. He was not the first, but he was the first. Those were raised to die again. Jesus was the first to be raised, never to die again. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. So if Jesus was raised, never to die again, we too, by the power of God, will be raised, never to die again. Go back to that verse. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You connect the fact that as certain as we can be about the resurrection of Jesus, we can be about our own resurrection. We can be about the resurrection of every person who has ever lived. But here's what you need to understand about the resurrection from the dead. Is you have a choice in the matter. You have a choice. You don't have a choice whether you're raised or not. What did Jesus say? The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. You don't have a choice in that. When Jesus returns, you won't have a choice whether you are raised or not. But here's where you do have a choice. When Jesus returns and everyone comes forth from the grave, you will have the choice what kind of resurrection you have. Look in John chapter 5. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in John chapter 5 and verse 29? All who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. It is not Jesus who on that day will arbitrarily decide what kind of resurrection you will have. It is you who will decide if you will be raised unto life or if you will be raised unto condemnation. Let me ask you this morning, which of those would you like to have? Which of those resurrections would you like to have? Would you like to come forth from the grave to a resurrection of eternal life in the abode of heaven that we just sang about, down in the Paradise Valley that we sang about? Would you like to have a home in paradise or the resurrection of condemnation, where for all of eternity you will live in damnation away from the presence of God? That's not a hard question, is it? I mean, that's like asking, do you want a piece of pie, a piece of cake, or do you want to go to the dentist? I mean, that's not a hard question to figure out the answer to. Do you want a cookie, or do you want to go get a tetanus shot? That's not a hard question to answer. Which one of those do you want? But the beauty of it is, it's your choice. God does not force you to live for Him. He gives you the choice. He gives you the opportunity. And so on that day of resurrection, on that day, you will already have determined what resurrection you will have. Now, on that day, you don't get to change. You don't get to change your mind. You don't get to see other people being raised. Oh, that's what I want. I didn't get what he's got. That's what I want. At that point, it's too late. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Bible says that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you hear that word, all? It's the same word all Jesus used. All who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done. You know what that verse says? That each one may receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. On that day of resurrection, what will determine our resurrection is what we have done in our body. Whether we have lived according to this pattern, to this standard, to this guide, or whether we have chosen not to do that. So I first asked you of those two resurrections, which one would you like? But my second question is, of those two resurrections, which one will actually be yours? The third resurrection that we need to connect here is found over, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to tell you what this resurrection is yet. You've got to figure it out on your own. We've got the resurrection of Christ. We've got the resurrection of all of the dead at the end of time. But there is another resurrection that the Bible talks about that is absolutely critical for us to experience. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, you He made alive. When did He do that? You He made alive, Ephesians 2 and verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time for these Christians in the city of Ephesus. There was a time when they were dead. Not physically, spiritually. There was a time when they were dead spiritually. But Paul says that was in the past. But they were dead because they were dead in their trespasses and sins. Look down in verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses. What was happening? Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. You once walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You once walked your own path following after this world, and God says you were dead. What does every dead person need? What's their greatest need? Life. They need to live. So when one is dead spiritually, when one is lost in sin, What is their most critical need at that moment? Life. They absolutely need life. But look in verse 5. This was not something that was yet future to them. This is not talking about the resurrection at the end of time when Jesus returns. This is talking about something that had happened to them currently. It was a present day event. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive. It's talking about something they had experienced. This is talking about a resurrection that they themselves had already experienced. Look in verse 6. He raised us up. That's talking about past tense. They were dead. But something happened to those who were dead spiritually in their sins. They were raised up. Now, when did that happen? When did they go from dead, verse 1, to being alive, verse 5? When did that transpire? Before we answer that question, I want you to see how we're talking about three interconnected resurrections, how this resurrection is connected. Look in verse 6, where it says that He raised us up with Him. This resurrection that these Christians in Ephesus had experienced, this was a resurrection that was connected to the resurrection of Jesus. They had been raised up together with Him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, just as Christ was raised, think about that, just as, same way. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also. Look at the comparative words in Romans 6 and verse 4. The very same way that Jesus was raised from the dead is the very same way that right now today we can be raised from the dead. Paul said to the church in Colossae in Colossians 3 and verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ. They had been. Now when did that happen? When had they experienced a resurrection? When was it that they had gone from being dead to being alive? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. When do individuals go from being dead to being alive? Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4 tells us when this event culminates, when this can culminate for each of us. Romans 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, verse 4, we were buried with Him. What happens when somebody is baptized? Well, they're buried. But that's not all that this verse says. It doesn't just say that baptism is an immersion. It does not just say that baptism is a burial. Verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him. Notice that verse 3 says that we were baptized into His death. We experienced Jesus' death. We experienced something being buried with Him. And then verse 4 says that just as Christ was raised, what happens to us? We also are raised to walk in newness of life. When is it, according to Scripture, when is it that someone goes from being dead in trespasses, needing nothing more than being made alive? When is it that somebody goes from being dead to being made alive? If Romans 6 isn't enough for you, go to Colossians chapter 2. Look in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 2 and verse 13, we see a parallel to what Paul said in Ephesians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, you being dead in trespasses. That's exactly what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. You were dead in your sins. Colossians 2 and verse 13, you being dead in your trespasses, He has made alive together with Him. Now, when did God make you alive? What does verse 13 say, the end of it? When did God make you alive? At the very moment He forgave you of your sins. At the very moment that God took you from being dead to making you alive. What does it mean you were made alive? He forgave every one of your sins. You're no longer dead and separated in your sins. You've been made alive. Now, when did God do that? When did God make somebody alive? Look at what verse 12 says. Just look at what the Bible says. Colossians 2 and verse 12. What happened when these individuals were made alive? What happened in verse 12? They had been, just like Paul said in Romans 6, they had been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. There's a connection between Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection. When are we raised and made alive from being dead in sin? The Bible says that that resurrection comes about when we are buried in water. When we are buried in that water and raised up out of that water, it is a like figure. It is a like figure. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, God told the church there that they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What was the form? Just as Jesus died and was buried and raised again, so man must die to sin, be buried in water, and be raised to a new life. There are three resurrections in the New Testament that are all interconnected. They're all tied together. And this resurrection of baptism, this resurrection where we are raised out of the waters of baptism, is the moment when our sins are forgiven. It is the moment when we are given a new life, where we're given an opportunity to start over, where we're given an opportunity not to be weighed down by our sins any longer, but to have a clean slate, a fresh start, with no sins accounted against us. Have you ever been baptized? Not have you ever had water put on you? Not have you ever been put under water? Have you ever been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you ever been buried, going under that water as someone who had their sins, who was dead in sins, but you were buried in order that you might be raised and all of those sins removed? Bob said, this is the day when many think about the resurrection of Jesus and how powerful the resurrection of Jesus is and was. But if we expect to experience the power of that resurrection, we must be raised. We must experience that resurrection. We must be made alive today. Have you ever done that? For you see, this resurrection is then connected to the final resurrection. If I want to be raised to the resurrection of life, I must have in my life died to sin, been buried with Christ, been raised to walk in newness of life, and then I must continue to walk with Him. Where are you today in your relationship to the resurrection of Christ? Where are you today in your relationship to the final resurrection? Are you ready? It is possible that we could determine exactly how many days or years ago. It is possible, I would suppose, to figure out exactly how long ago it was that Jesus was raised from the dead. But you will never be able to figure out how long it will be until the time when all of the dead are raised. It could happen today. It could happen on your way home. It could happen tonight. where every person who has ever died is raised from the grave. The question is, when that day comes, will you be ready? Will you have experienced the resurrection that is tied to both of those resurrections and have continued to walk in newness of life? Have you experienced that resurrection? Have you given your life to the Lord? Are you walking in newness of life? If you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? We saw that in John chapter 5, verse 24. We need to believe that He's the Son of God in order that we might experience the resurrection unto life. We need to repent. It's not enough just to get into the water and be baptized. We've got to make up our mind first. I want to stop doing wrong. I want to start doing right. I want to get away from sin. To repent and turn ourselves towards God. Have you ever done that? Confess your faith in Jesus and then be immersed. To be buried just as Jesus was buried. To be raised just as Jesus was raised. And to allow His blood to wash away your sins. And from that day forward, to walk in newness of life. Are you ready for the resurrection? If there's anything that this church can do to help you to be ready for the return of Christ, we're going to sing a familiar song, "Just As I Am." Why don't you come to the Lamb of God today, right now, as together we stand and sing.